So let's get started. We're learning Siman Lamed Vav. We're in Sif Chaf Tes. Learning Le'ili Nishmas Yenis and Ephraim Ben Yisif Meir Koyen. So we're starting already, so I want to get started. There's one Nechuda that we mentioned yesterday, which I asked really as a Kasha, and I looked it up, I got a little bit more clarity. We were talking about when we have a Lamed that goes up into the next line, in between a Hey, or a ches, or we said other letters, an aleph, or a tav. And we had the same thing, an end of ches that goes down into a tes, or into an ayin. So that's a problem because now we read the letter that's coming into this line together with the ois, and it stares the tzura of the ois. We made a distinction, l'chadchila, it shouldn't come in even a mashu. And if it comes in so much that it changes the tzura of the ois, then it's possible unless a tinnik is going to read it properly. So now there's one thing that I had mentioned as we were speaking, we had a whole discussion. One point that I mentioned was that when he puts, the way that a person writes a lamed is he starts from the top and he writes it down. So the second that he started writing his lamed, he had already written inside of this hay or whatever it is, he had written a marking inside the hay, and then he continued it down. So somebody in the shir pointed out, which is logical, that when a person looks at these letters together, he sees a whole lamed here. He's not going to make a mistake and think that there's something wrong with the hay. He's going to see, okay, the lamed is sticking up into the hay a little bit. No problem. So the correct response to that is that since he starts writing from the top, once he wrote inside the hay, he already made it possible. So even though he continued to write down and finish the lamed, and now as you read it, you don't confuse the top of the lamed as part of the letter above it. You see it clearly as part of the lamed. It's connected to the lamed. However, since it was once possible, so then it remains possible. This svara is from the Lishkas HaSeifer from Rav Shlomo Gansfried, and he says that it's like Chak Teiches. That just like a letter that gets its proper tzura by erasing everything around it is possible, right? By you have just a block of solid ink and you carve it away and you end up with a letter, that's possible. So the same thing, that's Chak Teiches. So he compares this to that. In other words, I have here, let's say, a hay with three legs, and it's possible right now. As he continues to write the lamed, and now he drew a lamed, So without doing anything to the hay, he just made it into a hay. So, but the hay occurred by itself. The tzura of the hay happened by itself. It didn't happen through a writing of the hay. It happened through just finishing the lamed. So that's a problem of Chak Teiches, which means that this would be possible even in a Sefer Torah, not only in Tefillin, aside from the problem of Shalei Kasidrin, but it's a problem of Chak Teiches. So now the Sefer Mishnah Sefer points out that there would be a difference then in the order that he writes it. In other words, a lamed where you start at the top and he started right inside the hay was a problem. But however, if he has let's say a hay and then a base, and he's writing the bottom, the meshav of the base, and he continues it a little bit too far to the right and it goes into the hay that's before it. What am I saying? Not a hay. Excuse me, a resh or a dalet. There's a resh or a dalet in front of a base. And he continues the bottom of that base until it goes under the gog of the resh or the dalet. So now it looks like it's the regal of a hay because it's sticking in. So then that would not be that would also change the ois. But now it didn't happen at the beginning of the ksiva. Now what's the difference? So the difference would be if he has to show it to a tinnik, or if he has to cover up the letter to show it to a tinnik or not. If we have a lamed, the bottom of the lamed, we can't count together because since he wrote in the top inside the hay before he continued writing, he already made it possible at the beginning. So then he has to cover up the lamed and he has to be able to read the hay as it is, because we're talking about resh. He has to be able to read the resh we're talking about the hay. I'm right the first time. Sorry, I'm going back and forth between everything. He has to be able to read the hay properly, even without this part of the lamed stick, even with the lamed, without seeing the lamed. Mashainkin, in this case of the base, since he had the form of the base before he went over and made it into the race. Now it looks like a hay. That, he doesn't have to cover up the base. That's what he says in Mishnah HaSefer. So now, by the same token, I pointed this out yesterday, and Lechur, it's true. He didn't mention this case specifically, but the Mishnah Berurah gave another example of a psul. We had a lama that goes up. We had an endachas that goes down. So the endachas that goes down, when it pokes into the letter that's beneath it, let me think. So I was thinking that when he writes it, he's finished the chas. But the truth is that he wrote that on the line before. So now he's making a tav, let's say, underneath the chas. So it's going to be hanging into the letter. Now, okay, so lechor, this is the same problem as the lamed. It means before he's finished writing the tav, there's already the lamed and the avir. There's already the end of chas hanging down in the avir of the test. This is the same problem. Okay, Al Kapanim, he said, it's the case of a base. If he went in after the letter was already formed, then he doesn't have to cover that letter. Okay, let's go further. We're up to Sif Chaf Tes. We're going to talk about halachas that the Sefer has to know when he's writing the parshias. Halachas of writing the parshias. Chaf Tes. Im ein ha-parshia is shkruis b'fif. If the Sefer doesn't know the parshias bal peh, meaning not only what the words, but how to spell them, then tarech shiichtoiv mitaych ha-ksav. Then he has to copy it from a written ksav. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Kuf lamed gimel. Shgurus b'fiv. Dahainu be'eshu ma'afchel lichtoiv. That's the time when he's starting to write, meaning he's is an amateur writer, so mimela mistama adayin in baki b'kriyasa, and presumably he doesn't know them already balpea karui, as is needed. If a frat mali v'chase, especially the spellings, if he leaves out a vav, he puts in a vav, he leaves out a yud, he puts in a yud, that mistama he doesn't know balpea yet. So if he doesn't know them balpea, so he has to copy it from a written sefer Torah or a tefillin. Mitzayka ksav, or mipi makri, or somebody could read it to him, kadesh lo yita, that he shouldn't make a mistake. Vimiksa the parsha shgura b'fiv, if part of it he knows how to spell it balpeh without looking in, then motu lichtoiv oise miksas balpeh, he would be permitted to do that without looking in. Vayin b'bach, look in the bach, shekasav demikol makom mitzvah min amulchar lichtoiv b'chol gavne mitzayka ksav, that it's always better to write a copy from inside than to do it from memory, because if he does it from memory, it's always possible, even if he's very experienced and he knows it well, but the night, it's always possible to make a mistake, whereas if he's copying, he's less likely to make a mistake. Sif Laman. Eina Rishai, Lichtaiv, Elim, Ken, Yadav, Likreis, a person who doesn't know how to read can't be a safer. It says in Mishnah Berurah, Sif Laman, Hey, Yadav, Likreis, Dim Lavachi, Makal, Yachol, Lichtaiv, he can easily make a mistake, Vaino, Margish. Then he won't notice a mistake. Well, I mean, even that, it could know Aleph base and recognize the letters. It could be a cipher technically, but since he doesn't know how to read, he's not literate. He can't formulate sentences or understand, comprehend it. So then we're afraid that he won't even though he's copying and looking at letters, that's not good enough. So you got to know at least your Aleph base to got to be able to you got to be a reader to be a cipher. Lamed Aleph. Im ena kaysev mitaych aksav la yichtav al peh ha-makra oysoy acher ela im kein yakzahu v'yikra b'fif. If a person is having somebody read to him the oysoyos or the words to write, so then he shouldn't just listen and write it. He has to say the word before he writes it down. Now, before we go anywhere, it's a mashma from the Mechaber that if he's just copying it, he doesn't need to say the words. And the Achrenim have a problem that in Yerideya it says that when he writes a Sefer Torah, so he always has to say every word that he writes, he has to say the word and then write it, even if he's copying it from the Ksav. So there seems to be a theory here between the Hilchas Tefillin and the Hilchas Sefer Torah. Here the Mechaber seems to say that only when he's hearing somebody else who's saying it for him to write it down, then he needs to say the word. But if he'd be copying it, then he wouldn't need to do this. He wouldn't have to say the word. Whereas in Hilchas Sefer Torah it says that even if he's copying it from a written paper or whatever, he has to say the word. So we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. He's going to address this problem. Sif Katan Kuf Lamed Vav. Mitaika Ksav Mashma, from the Lashon of the Mechaber, it's Mashma, Dekshtekai save Mitaika Ksav Ein Tzarich Lehitzi Bepeh, that if he's copying, he doesn't need to say the word as he writes it. And Mayri, and we're talking about Davka Kishish Gureis Loi, that the person is familiar with the text. In other words, if he wouldn't be familiar with the text, so then he would always have to write it down. Gamkein. Vaz lechayshin and shem meyita. Then we're not afraid I'll make a mistake. So with this, the Mishnah Berurah answered the kasha. The kasha was that in Yerideah it seems like he always has to say the word before he writes it. And here it seems that he doesn't have to. Teretz is that the difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin is that Sefer Torah, presumably he doesn't know the whole Sefer Torah Baal Peh, how to spell every word in the Sefer Torah. And the Tefillin, normally a Sefer is experienced enough that he knows how to say it, how to write it without looking inside. So Mimela, since he's so familiar with the Parshiyos, so then he doesn't have to say the word also. And the assumption is that the reason why he reads the words before he writes them is in order to not make a mistake as he's writing them down. Okay, that's clear to everybody. So we just answered the kasha. We had a kasha from Yerideah that says he always has to say the word before you write it, and here it seems not. And the answer was that tefillin is different than Sefer Torah, because presumably tefillin, he's familiar, so familiar with it that we're not afraid of the mistake he might make if he doesn't say the word before writing. Fine. And then he says, parenthetically, this is where he got it from. Ken Kaza Magan Avram, Bele Rabba, Lataritz, Tulatiksha, Meha, Lahada Yerideya, Simon Reish Ayindalat, Sevbez, Vayin Prima Gadim, Shekin Kavanas Magan Avram. Fine, that was the whole stick type. Now, that's how the Achronim learned Pshat in the Mechaber. However, Lamaisei, the Achronim bring a Bach, that there's a different reason why we have to say the words before we write them down. Something truly amazing. Before we said, you have to say the word, you shouldn't make a mistake. It's a way of making sure that you know what you're going to write down. The Bach says something that's so fascinating. He says that when the Sefer says the word before he writes it, so the Kedusha, the Hevel Piv, the air, the breath that comes out of his mouth, goes onto the letters of the Tefillin of the Sefer Torah that he's writing and makes a Kedusha of the Dibur in the Ksav. Many Akronim disagree with this Pesach of the Mechaber, that you don't, if you're familiar with the Parsha of Tefillin, you don't need to say the word. Before you write it down, Vatam, Kaz of Abach. The Bach says the reason is as follows. The Kachi Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs. Kadei Shetehei Kedushas Hevel Kriyas Kol Teva V'Teva Ayotzi Mipia Kairei Nimshachas Ala Oisiyos, that the Kedusha of reading each word as it comes out of his mouth will go onto the Oisiyos Kishikai Sefezon as he's writing them, the cloth on the cloth, and then he has a Kedusha, the Kedusha of his Dibur onto the words that he's writing. An amazing thing. Mikol Zeh L'Chanchila. This is all Chachila, Aval B'di'evet, Ein Nifsal B'chol Gavni, Eim Leitav. He didn't make a mistake, it's not possible B'di'evet. Okay, so Al-Kapanim, this is an Inyan, so there's two different explanations why he has to say the word before he writes it down. The Pashat explanation is he shouldn't make a mistake, and then there's another, which, and according to that Svara, if he's very knowledgeable and he knows it already by heart, so then he really wouldn't have to say the word before he writes it down if he's copying from a page, and unless he's hearing it from somebody else, or if he's doing it from heart, then it's better to say. But if he's copying from a page, it's enough. Yeah. You're asking if somebody who's mute couldn't be a cipher. It's chachilas. I don't know if that would be maki, but the mute would be a different problem if he's putter from mitzvah. So then he can't write the cipher. Can't write farm. But the etzem, if he's only mute, but he's not deaf, or if he's only deaf, then l'chura he's kasher. I mean, l'chura he's kasher, and then it's only this issue of being able to say the word. That's not ma'akev. Yeah, interesting. And then the other svara is that no, there's a kedusha that he puts on the oisiyos by saying the word first, and then there's always an inyan to say the word before he writes it down. Okay, let's go further. Kof Lamed Zion, Al Pi Amakra, Al Pi Hashemakra, person's reading it to him. And then he's copying it. Vafilu hu shagar b'fiv gamkein. Even if he is, he knows it by heart, still, since he's hearing it from somebody else, he should copy it down. The raya is this whole halakha comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, that it says in the Gemara that Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying what to write, and Moshe Rabbeinu would say it and write it down. There's different gisoyes in the Gemara, but according to some gisoyes, it says he would say it and write it. So who was more bucky in the Torah than Moshe Rabbeinu? And Afal Pi Kein, it says that he had to say the words before he wrote it down, since he was hearing it from someone else, namely Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Mimela, that's why he has to, a person who is even a bucky, it's shogar b'fiv, he still has to say the words. Kuvla minchaz, v'yikr b'fiv, he should read it, kol teva v'teva, kodim shikh tevena. So the Dirshu makes a duke here in the Mishnah Berurah from Rav Wozner, Echatadok Levracha, that it's mashma that the Sefer has to read each word. He can't say a bunch of words and then write them all down. He has to go one word at a time. That's what Mashma Mishnah Berurah says, called Teva V'Teva. And Emma says, this lashon is really, the Bach says this lashon also. The Mishnah Berurah, when he quoted the Bach, he skipped these words and he said it here. Shiktavana Kadeshla Yeteh, that he shouldn't make a mistake. And Agav, I'll tell you another interesting thing. This is that Svara, that he shouldn't make a mistake. The Lishkas of Sefer has a fascinating deon over here, which also the Dirshu brings down, is that what happens if there's a Kri and a Ksiv? So what should the Sefer write? Should he write the way that you say it or the way that it's written? So he says that since the whole purpose is he shouldn't make a mistake how to write it, so Mimele, the Sefer should say the word the way it's spelled, not the way we read it. So LaMarshal, instead of, let's say, mezuzos is chaser, so he shouldn't say mezuzos, he should say mezuzas, because that's the way it's spelled in the tefillin, so you shouldn't make a mistake and spell it the malay, because it's chaser. So he needs to, when he reads it, he needs to read it ki'ilu, it's chaser the way it's spelled. Now the shaila is, what does he do when he gets to Hashem's name? Yudke Vavke is not allowed to be enunciated when it's the way it's spelled. If he says the same Adin is the way it's said, so then that's not going to help him for the spelling. And the whole point over here is the way it's spelled. So say he says, so somebody here, Tanya, he should just say Yud Kei Vavke. That would be a good Eitza. The Chayr doesn't help either, because the Taisva says, he doesn't mention this, but the Chayr is shouted like this. Taisva says that the Isser of being Hagya as Hashem, Bois Yosef, there are Rishonim that learned that means you're not allowed to say Yud and a Hey and then a Vav and then a Hey. You're not allowed to spell out Hashem's name straight. You can't do that. So how am I? He's going to say, like you said, Yud Kei Vavke. But that also doesn't help him to spell it correctly, because then she's going to put a K over there. That's Hashem's name. You're tiny, everybody knows that. Okay. But the point is that since the he's saying it in order to write what he's saying, so... So the answer is that it's not makiv. Like we said, the whole din is l'chadchila. So he says where it's efshar, so he doesn't have to say it. And he brings another example. No, he wouldn't say anything then. He wouldn't say shem adnas either. So he brings an example of Chazal that they were that they didn't write. They didn't say out klalas, or things that are like bad things in the Torah. They didn't want to say the words. He says, Kol Shekein over here, it's Hashem's name. It's obviously to say, so then he just doesn't say it. So it's not ma'akev. Anyway, interesting halacha. Let's finish up that Mishnah Berurah. The Kol Shekein imu kaisev al peh b'li makri. If there's nobody reading it to him, he's just doing it from memory, then for sure he should say the word before he writes it down. So it comes out like this. If he's copying from a ksav, we have a machlokis. The Machaber says that you don't have to say it out because you know the parshas very, very well. And other acronyms say anyway, there's an Indian to bring kedusha onto the ksav, so he should anyway say it. But if he's not copying from a ksav, even if he's bucky and everything, it doesn't matter. He always has to say the word. He's hearing from somebody else. He's doing a balpeh. He's got to say the word not to make a mistake. Let's go further. Sif Lamed Beis. Now we're going to learn about the spacing in the tefillin. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the spacing on top and the bottom. There needs to be space, the mila, above the parsha, kedei gaga shalamed, to make enough room that you should be able to write a lamed, haga, viyu gamhe mukafim gvil, and also there should be a drop to be spaced between the lamed and the edge of the cloth. Ulamata, and underneath the writing, kashir chaf, venun, pshuta, that there should be enough room to write a kaf, pshuta, meaning an end a chaf, and a nun pshuta, and a nun. Period. I'll stop there for a second. So the Mishnah Berurah says on this, kuflametes, we're talking about above the lines. Kadei gaga shalamed, there needs to be enough room to write a lamed. Venirali, dino miksav beinani. This is talking about a ksav beinani. In other words, there has to be a shear over here. So you're saying that there's an average size writing, that's how much he has to leave, even if he's writing a smaller ksav, and he has plenty of room for his lameds. But lamaise, for an average ksav lamed, that's how he has to write it. Afilu kaitiv raksav katsan. And he says in the parentheses that the proof is, otherwise there's no set shear. I mean, there's no size. It depends on the size of his writing. It could be smaller or bigger. So that's why he's noted to say that it has to be a ksav beinani. Let's see the next Mishnah Berurah of Mem. Pshuta, on the bottom, it has to be enough room to write a kaf or a nun pshuta. V'oid mashehu, la kaf is gvilam. And there also has to be enough room for the space between the letter and the edge of the cloth. Period. The Talmud there. What's the reason why you have to have space on top and the bottom? It's pashet kadesh shikashi is dominantly the kasvam, that if he's going to have a chance to write a lamed or an endanun or an endachaf on the top or the bottom, he's got to have room to write it. Sheyevoy makom lazeh. He's got to have a space. Period. That's how you learn the mechaber. There's another shita in the Rishayim which the Mechaber doesn't bother to bring down, a chumra, that aside from this, the shear of the lamed, there has to be another extra space of a half of a tzipirin beyond that. And that's the Mishnah Berurah brings down, v'yesh oimrin, t'tarech laniach oid l'mayla migagash alamed u'lamata mi'chaf v'nun pshuta k'dei chatzi tzipirin. There has to be a shear of a half, a nail, the size of a half of a nail, above and beyond the lamed, and below and beyond the endachaf and the endanun. V'zerak l'chatchila, that would be l'chatchila to do such a thing. Period. Let's go back to the mechaber. So far we learned about above and below. Now we're going to talk about to the right and to the left, before and after the ksav. Tchilas and the seifan, at the beginning and the end of the ksav, ein tzarech laniach klal. He doesn't have to leave anything. That's the mechaber. Haga amio nagu haseifrim laniak katzas b'tchila v'seif. The minig haseifrim is to leave in the beginning and the end. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah on that point. Kufnim olav and kufnim beif. So the mechaber says you don't have to leave anything. Rak mashu l'kaf is gvilam. You just have to leave enough space so it's not touching the edge of the page. The writing is not touching the end of the page. Kufnim beif. And the Ramah says, no, the minig of the seifrim was to leave a drop. A little bit more than the hakafas gvil. V'yesh machmirim, there's a chumra to the chatchila tzarech b'tchila klav k'dei liglo kol parsha k'moy mezuzah. Just like a mezuzah is supposed to have enough klav at the beginning that when he rolls it from the back, then the whole parsha could be surrounded by empty space, by empty gvil or whatever klav. So there are those who say that the same halacha applies by the tefillin, that he should have enough klaf at the beginning of the parsha, that it's the same thing if he would roll it up in such a way that he would, from back to front, that it would wrap around, that there'd be enough klaf in the front of the parsha to wrap it around. So, okay, that's a chumra. I don't know. In Beis Yosef, he said that the emes is, we don't do this. He says we don't do this by the mezuzah because you have to write the shem shakai on it, but I think we write it anyway, and we just write the shakai on the outside of the cloth instead of opposite the ksav. Okay, kapanim, that, he says, is a chumrah, and b'diavad it's not ma'akev. Shine. Okay, now let's go back to the mechaber. So far we spoke about top, bottom, and the front and the back. Now we're going to speak about the spacing between the words, the spacing between the lines, the spacing between the letters, and then there's a question of spacing between sentences, if you have to have the end of each pasuk a space. So let's see that all together. Zakh the Mechaber writes that this is in the Ramah, really. There needs to be between each word the space of an ois. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah that's a yud. There has to be a yud space between each teva, each word. And also there should be a space between the lines, the space of a whole line. And then between each letter in the word, kamale chuta saira should be the hair's breadth space. It means it should be as close together as possible without touching. Like a sefer Torah, kamale shizbar b'tur yurideya. And then the last issue, the pasuk, gam tzarech laniach ma'at chalak bein pasuk l'pasuk. There should be a drop of space between each pasuk. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah that we don't pasken like that. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. So there's four Mishnah Berurahs here. There are 4 points, and it's four Mishnah Berurahs. The 4 points we said was the space between each word is kamali ois. We said the space between the lines is the space of a line. Then we said the space between the letters is a chutasaira, and then the space between each pasuk we said is a red. It has to be up to ma'at chalak, up to a little bit of space. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah now. We're up to kuf mem gimel, that there's a ois between each teva, each word, katana, a small letter, shu yud, that's a yud. Bidi avid. Ein livso elim kein nearest kateva achas, latinuk, bidloi chacham latipish. It means even if the space is smaller than a ois katana, a yud, but as long as it looks like a separate word to a katan, then it's still kasher. So l'chadchila, it should be a yud space, but the d'yavid, as long as it could be read by a child properly, it's still kasher. Kuf mem dalad, the space between lines, we said, is a shita. V'yesh aymrim dein tzarech laniach, elav a sefer teira. Others say that that's only a din in sefer teira, not in tefillin. Chein nagu a seferim, shein medaktik in bezeh. The seferim are not so medaktik in this. However, we learned before that that you have this issue with the lamed and the chaf pshutas, that they could go into the next line. It's not pashut. A sefer that doesn't leave himself enough room, and then he has to squeeze, he has to make long lamids and short lamids, and he has to bend the lamid over in certain places. The sefer has to know that he has to give himself enough room to make the oisias the way he needs to make them. Okay? Kuf. Fine. Kuf mem dal. We said kuf mem hey. Chutasaira. We said the space between the oisias is kachutasaira. Hainu rak lechatchila. That's lechatchila. But b'di'avid ein livsal elim kein niras ateva chalukul shtayim. So the same thing like we said by the words that there's a shir lechatchila an ois of a yud. So over here the shir is it should be a hair's breadth. It should be as close as possible. But when I say as long as it looks like one word, it's not so much of a space that you read it as two separate words, then it's still kasher. Kamoshin is bayar kol zebi or ideya, simen reishayim zayin lein and sefer teir. Fine. The last issue we spoke about in the Ramah was that there should be space between psukim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, ma'ad chalak avon logan avraon b'shem kamachreinim v'agra b'biuroi hichriyu de'ein tzarech v'ania chalak yosem yibin teva l'teva b'em tzapasa. So he says that these places can say that no, It's not necessary to leave any more space than we would between one word and the next. So Mimela, that seems to be the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, is that the pasuk doesn't get any extra space. A soif pasuk is the same as the rest of the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin and Mezuzahs. It's just, you know, one word after the next. Yeah, let's go right here. Sif Lamed Gimel. Now we're going to talk about the margins. And in the Sefer Torah, there has to be Sirtut, and they have to be Mamish margins. We just learned now that the margins of the Tefillin are very small. According to the Mechaber, it could be a Mashu just for Hakafas Gvil. According to the Ramah, it's a little bit more. But Al Kapanim, there's halakas of margins. If he left more of a margin, so then if he wants to write outside of the Sirtut, if he wants to write outside the margin, so there's halakas. Let's see. Yas Ashuri Shavois, that the line should all end at the same place. If there's we had before that there's an Indian to make sirtut on the sides, so they should all end at the same margin. Shaloite achas nechneses v'achas yaitseis, there shouldn't be one word sticking in, one word sticking out. And in the very least, he has to be careful that there shouldn't be three letters sticking out of the line. Vim kasvam le pasul. But if he did it, it's not pasul. So din l'chadchila, first of all, it should be nice that they're mamish straight, and then even if they're not mamish nice like that and they're sticking out, it's still not pasul if it sticks out more than that. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Kuf Mem Zayin. As achas yaitzeis, one in, one out. Vafilo ois achas, mishum ze keli van veyu. So it's nice, the film look nicer when they're straight. Kuf Mem Chav, Gimel ois yais. We said that for sure you should be careful not to have more than three ois yais going out of the line, but again, it's not maki b'diyavid. Midalei chilek, mashma, dafilo im elu a gimel ois yais heim miut a teva. That even if those three ois yais are a mute of the teva, in other words, he has a word, let's say, with seven letters, and four of the letters are inside the sirtut, and three of the letters are outside the sirtut in the margin, so it's no problem. It's still a problem. Meaning three letters is chashev. That has nothing to do with being rove of the word. It could be a mute of the word. But since it's three letters, that's too much. It's too chashev to be sticking out. So it's not nice. So then it's usher. You shouldn't do that. Of Yerideya, I think it's Tira. And Yerideya, Simon Reishayin Gimel Pasa Karambam. That he paskin like the Rambam, like Kabdinin, Elash Leyichtev Roiv HaTevachus HaShita. The Shitas of the Rambam, and that's the Mechaber in Yerideya, Chulchas Sefer Taira. There he says that it's only a problem if it's rove of the word. In other words, there's no shear. It doesn't matter how many letters are outside. The Iker question is it the majority of the word is outside or not? So it's only a problem if it's the majority of the word. So in this case that we said, if he has seven letters and four are inside and three are outside, according to the Rambam, no problem. So we have here a theory. Here the Mechaber says that four inside and three outside is a problem. And there he says, that four inside and three outside is no problem. So let's see. Let's see that it's an even word. So he has four inside, four outside. Now what? Mutter lichtayva chetzia chutz lashita. That would be mutter, even according to the Mechaber here. So in other words, the whole machlokus is only when you have a rove and a mute. You have rove inside and a mute outside. And it's three oisias, that would be the machlokas, it seems, the stira and the mechabers. But if it's even, that's not a question. Now, so how do we paskin? Vayin b'shach sham, look in the shach in your idea, shekasav, sheyesh lahachmir kehachtahacha. So the shach holds, even when he's writing a sefer Torah, he has to be machmir like the mechaber wrote over here. This is a rush, the tour and the rush. So since the mechaber over here went with the tour and the rush to be machmir, the three letters is always a problem. So then when a person writes a Sefer Torah, he has to be machpin on this also. That's the shach. Vayin be'eli rabba holds, shadaitud al kaponim, leaving Sefer Torah aside, but at least by tefillin, shagilyon is kitzarim yesh lahachmir. Since they have a very small gilyon, there's a very small margin by tefillin, so mimele it should be more machmir. I guess the three oisiyos is more nicker, and it could be he's answering the stira that in Yari Day is talking about a Sefer Torah. So Sefer Torah, it could be he was lenient and relied on the Rambam that the it's only a problem when it's rove of the word outside in the margin. But if it's a lot of letters, three letters is not a problem as long as it's a mute. Whereas, because they have a big margin in Sefer Torah. Whereas by Tfilin has a very small margin, so there the Mechaber, here the Mechaber was Machmir. That could be, it's Pshat in the Mechaber, and therefore, in the very least, by Tfilin we have to be Machmir. The Shach himself held that you have to be Machmir even by Sefer Torah. Kuf Memtes. We said that if he wrote them, even three letters is not possible. In Kasvam, Ben Shaya Habuita, Betchila Feshita, Besefa, it doesn't matter if it's at the beginning of the line or at the end of the line. One might say three letters is not right, he shouldn't do it, but if he did it, it's not puzzle. Kuf Nun, he didn't puzzle it. Vafili in Kasav, Teva Shleim, Achutzashita. If he wrote a whole word outside of the margin, it's still kasher. Kol Shinikr, Shinikrev, Im Oisa Hashita. So long as you can still read it together with this line. In other words, he's talking about, let's say, a Sefer Torah, or in the Tefillin Shel Yad, that you have columns of writing. So if he went outside of the margin in this column and he has another column that is next to it, so there could be a problem that if you read it straight across from one, it looks like it's shayach to the next columns, and then that would be a problem. But so long as it doesn't look like it has a shayach to the next column over, then even if you write the whole word outside of, in the margin, is not possible b'di'avit. As long as it doesn't go with the amud, the column that's next to it. Period. Next sif, lamed dalid. The Mechaber just told us that if he has three oisyos outside of the margin is a problem, which implies that two oisyos is no problem whatsoever. That means we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah soon, even if it's rove of the word. Because here, rove is not a problem since it's a small amount. But the Mechaber says now, but if the whole word is only two letters, so that means the entire word is going to be in the margin. If these two letters are in the margin, so you shouldn't write it in the margin. If the whole word is composed of two letters, like the word oi, or something like that, so he shouldn't write that outside of the margin, because now he has a whole word in the margin. So even though two letters by itself is not chashuv, but since it's a whole word, that's a problem. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Kufnun Aleph, teva achas, if the whole word's in the margin. Vima teva hi bashalosh, if the word is a three-letter word, then mutter lichtoy mimena shtei oisyois, chutz l'shita. Then you can even write two letters outside the shita. Like we said before in the Mechaber in Tzif Lamed Gimel, it's only a problem of three letters going in the margin. That's too much. It's a chash of a number. It's too chash of a shir to go in the margin. Now, if the whole word is three letters and only two letters are going in the margin, even though it's rove of the word, it's still not a problem since it's only two letters. Even though it's rov the teva, your idea is simin reish ayin gimel ayin bir alacha. So it comes out like this: that if he has a word that's two oisiyos, and I'll tell you one more thing: the bir alacha says if it's two oisiyos, so if one's in the margin and one's inside and one's outside, so then also that's also kasher. So it goes like this: the two oisiyos, if one's in and one's out, kasher. If lechatchila, it's not nice, but zekeli v'nbeu, but it's kasher. Kasher is not the right word, because it's going to be kasher even if the whole word's outside. It's not us to do that. You're allowed to do that. One in and one out. Not nice, but you're allowed to do it. If the whole word is outside, even though it's only two oisyos, it's going to be puzzle. If you have a three-letter word, so then one in and two out, even though it's not nice, but it's mutter lechatchila to do that, because lemaisa, even though it's rove the word, but it's only two oisyos. If he has a four-letter word, so again, half and half is no problem. Fine, so that if it would be three of the letters, then it would certainly be a problem, because it's rove the word and it's three letters. So now if we go off to a seven-letter word, so that would be the next nafka mina. If he has rove the word inside and three letters outside, so that's going to be the machlokas, the mechaber here, and the mechaber in your idea that we have to be machmir, even though it's not rove the word, but since it's three letters, it's a chash of a amount. Okay, fine. Let's go further. Now we're talking about the oisius of Hashem's name. The soid over here, let me just tell you what's going on, is that this din, an ois in the margin, has a din of a taliyah. Taliyah means that we don't write it like if a person makes it in English, you have a carrot and you stick the letter on top, yeah, and you kind of stick it in there in a margin or something like that. The writing in the margin has the halakhic din of being a taliyah. You're writing a letter like on top of the oisios or under the oisios. You're kind of sticking it in. So the Gemara says that with Hashem's name, you're not allowed to write a taliyah. It's us. You're not allowed to do that. And we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, a whole discussion over here. It's possible that you have it. So now, with Hashem's name, aside from the issue of the tefillin, of writing in the margin, there's Hashem's name itself. You're not allowed to do this. So let's see the Mechaber, Lamed Hey, Aisyos Hashem, the Aisyos of Hashem's name, Tzarek Shiyu Kulam B'Seich HaDaf, they all have to be within the margin. They shouldn't go out at all. We'll see the more details. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah. Kuvnun Aleph. Teva Achas. There's not only talking about Hashem's name Yukivavke, we're talking about any of the names that can't be erased. They shouldn't be hanging in the side. They shouldn't be in the margin. Kufn Gimel. So the shaila is if it's possible to the Abed or not. Amagin Avram b'shem Hagoyin Marina Rav Yitzchak Mipozna and the Vekena Ilis Tamid really a rabba v'kama miachrinim. Asik, they came to the conclusion that Davka l'chadchila, this machaber that says you can't put Hashem's name in the margin, is a din l'chadchila v'al b'di evid, ein l'hachmir, it's not ma'akir b'di evid, mikol makom. In ira kain, the sefer taira, but if it happens in it's a period. It's not ma'akir. However, listen, if we have an eitzah to fix it, we should do the eitzah. So he says like this, by a sefer taira, there's a pasuk of the eitzah, that he could erase the end of all the lines before, there's no din of kasidron, and he can rewrite the words and make them even with Hashem's name, or a little beyond, so that Hashem's name shouldn't be sticking out of the margin. In other words, he can change where his margin is. Mikol makom, im ira came to sefer taira, hayra he paskin limchoy kol ashurei tal yainais, he should erase all the words above, he doesn't have to erase all the lines, just at the end, to stretch the words out at the end a little bit. Im ein baham shum, as long as there's no shame is over there. And then you can spread them out, and they can make them so that they'll be even to Hashem's name, so now Hashem's name won't be sticking out. The reason why you should do this is since there's a way to fix it, by Mikri, Diavid. It's not called Diavid. The whole din is that it's Kasher B'Diavid, so that's not called B'Diavid, if he has a way to fix it. But if there's a shame above, so then there's no way to erase it. Is a shame, by Tzon Mezuzah, we also can't erase because of Shlokas Sidrin. Then Kasher Kak Vitikun. Kasher. Period. So that's how the Magen Avraham said, was that, listen, if there's an Eitzah, you could fix it by Sefer Torah, but if not, no, it's Kasher. Vej machmirim, there are Rishonim that are machmir, if you look at the Evid, that Hashem's name in the margin is mamish pasul. Vehizkim imam agoin Rabbi Kiva Eger v'derek hakayim. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Nesivas, both paskin like these Rishonim the whole, that it's mamish pasul. It's going to be a problem, because like there's no way to fix it. So Mishnah Berurah is going to bring two other eitzes that in certain circumstances there would be a way to fix it. Ach. If it's a Sefer Torah, it's Sheamus, he can't erase it. By a Tzon Mezuzah, he's never an Eitzah to erase because it's like a Sidron. This is by Hashem's name, if it's sticking out of the problem. Achim B'shuroi Zal Yainais, Oysa Achren, Beis, Dalad, Reish, if it's a letter he can schlep out, V'chadayma, Shekul Amayishkan, Kulu Moidu Debein B'Sefer Torah, Bein B'Tzon Mezuzah, Yim Shoich Leison, that's a great Eitzah. If that's the situation, he could certainly do that, and that'll be better. Going out of Shita, Vein B'Zem Yishum Shalik Hasidron, like we've said before, that's not a problem of writing out of order, because the Ois has already its Surah's Ois. Another Eitzah would be in a situation, V'Kein Im Loi Kasav Oid Rak Shura Achas. Let's say that he only wrote first one Shura, and he stopped by the Sirtut. And then the next line with Hashem's name went out. So he only has one line on top, that's out of order, yeah? And it's Tefillin Mezuzah, he can't fix it. So he says it's not too bad if instead the rest of the Tefillin, he'll just write Keneged where the Hashem's name is, and he'll only have one line on the top that goes in a little bit. That's not a problem. In other words, just redefining where the end of the page is. We thought it was with the first line, we'll make it that it's with the second line. If the second line he went out of the Shita, so what he should do is he should make new margins and he should make them out to where Hashem's name is. They'll be to where the Hashem's name ends. So then what we end up with is a tefillin that's all straight, all with Hashem's name, except for the first line was a little bit indented. That's not a problem. Finish up with the oid. You should know another thing is that Hashem's name, the voice here is on its poloi for Hashem, if it's like Elokecha, so the chaf at the end, is also part of Hashem's name, but the Hashkamas Achreinim is that won't make it possible b'di'evid. Ein l'achmer b'di'evid b'yotzi chutzashita. Let's squeeze in one more Mishnah Berurah here. Kufnan Dalad, mehem klal, that it shouldn't go out at all. What's that mean? Afilu ois achas. Even one letter of Hashem's name shouldn't stick in the margin. V'avshar, the af ruba kakula. Even if there's robe of the ois that's sticking out, it's also a problem. I'm a mix of the ois leiflan ba. But if it's just a part of minute part of the letter, that's okay. Now, period. One more. Alakavim yata Hashem kuloi chutzigilin. What if the whole name is outside of the margin? So then, it's not a taliyah anymore, and it's makshir. Legillion, ha'amud, kasher, but the evidence kasher. Vein daimel yaitse ois achas. It's not like one ois, chutz l'shita. Damaj yaitse chul, tu kasher ketaliyah. That's like a taliyah, v'kaimelon in your idea, the mixas Hashem, ein tailin. You're not allowed to hang part of Hashem's name. It is not part, this is the whole name. So b'di'avid, you're not allowed to write anything in the margins of the chatkila, but b'di'avid, if the whole shame was in the margin, it's kasher. Mash enkin b'zeh, ken kasev b'nei yayna, v'agoyin rabbi ki v'eger b'kidushav b'simen zeh machmer gam b'zeh, ein sham, aval b'vira gra mukach v'hadya ke b'nei yayna l'hakel. So the Mishnah Berurah is psak halach, what might say is that if you wrote the whole name in the margin, b'di'avid, it's kasher.